Case number 3, 22-070. And for the record, this is the one where we have additional documents.
Right, that we, yes.
So there's been an additional packet that has been passed out to the board, as I understand. Who submitted this? Is this the appellant or the?
The respondent.
The issuing authority.
The issuing authority submitted an additional packet, and there's been no objection by the appellant. Is that correct, ma'am?
Oh, yeah.
We have this now, so this is part of the record now.
Okay.
All right.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah, it's.
Okay. You said you don't have a problem with it?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Okay, sir, can you please identify yourself for the record again?
Yes, ma'am. My name is John Femia, spelled J-O-N, F as in Frank, E-M-I-A. I'm a detective with the Meriden Police Department. I've been asked to represent the interests of the respondent, Chief Roberto Rosato, in the denial of the appellant's permit.
And detective, can you identify your witness one more time?
Yes, ma'am. My witness is Mr. John Williams. He's a retired Meriden detective, currently works part-time for the city of Meriden as a police service technician doing pistol permit-related background investigations and the pistol permitting process on behalf of the respondent. He's also a detective for another police agency in Connecticut, but is not here in that role.
Okay, thank you, sir. You are entitled to a brief opening statement, if you'd like.
Thank you. I'd like to make a brief opening statement. The respondent's decision to deny appellant's permit is based on two issues. The first is that respondent provided inaccurate and or false information on her sworn application for the permit, and on that grounds, there is a basis of denial. Secondarily, and more important to respondent, Chief of Police, is the appellant's history going back with the police department for a number of incidents, including a number of incidents that show appellant engaging in violent behavior and associating with people involved in illegal gun activity, many of which are relatively recent, showing a lack of suitability to carry a weapon.
Okay. And would you like to make an opening statement?
Honestly, I don't really know what to say, but I don't know about the violence part, but I was involved in two incidents that had to do with my first baby father, which was, I think could have been the second one. Both of them had to do with, like, just ex-girlfriends of both my kids' fathers. I'm not sure which one it was, because it was probably, I was charged with both. I think it was like a month or like a week, like apart, that it both had to happen. I think the first one was in a courtroom where the they're both ex-girlfriends to my kids' fathers.
Word opening statement. Right?
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry, I didn't even know.
Yeah, okay, so just to let you know how it works, he kind of gave a brief synopsis of what he's going to go through, then you give kind of a brief overview, and then we'll go into the more details. Like,
I guess I'll wait for the details.
What's that?
I'll wait for the details.
Okay.
I don't know what to say.
All right, that's okay. Detective. It's you're up.
I'd like to question Mr. Williams.
Okay.
Mr. Williams, you're employed by the Meriden Police Department, correct?
Yes.
And your job is what specifically?
Conduct background investigations on pistol permit applications.
Did you conduct a pistol permit application background check on this model?
I did.
And as a result of your inquiries, what did you learn?
Basically, the applicant, the appellant, when the appellant applied, she listed arrest on her state application. Then we're asked if there's any convictions. She checked off no. She originally started to check off yes, but then she checked off no. The background investigation showed that she had two criminal convictions pretty similarly at around the same time. One was a conviction by the Connecticut State Police. She was convicted of breach of peace. I did try to obtain the report from the state police, but due to a statutory change, the state police now make municipalities pay for police reports when it comes to pistol permit background. So unless the municipality paid for the report, the state refused to give it to us. And they sent us a form letter telling us
Meriden wouldn't pay to get the report?
No, Meriden would not. Meriden's cheap with that.
How much is the report?
I think it was $50 or $60 total.
That's a lot for a report.
They can't do that. It's 50 cents a page. It's an awful lot.
So the city wouldn't, they wouldn't pay. We wouldn't pay and they wouldn't give it. So anyways, so then there was a second conviction.
Both parties are.
Yeah, there was a second conviction found that occurred in Meriden. The arrest was a Meriden arrest. The appellant was arrested for assaulting a pregnant female. That pregnant female received injuries and was sent to the hospital, treated for those injuries. The appellant was subsequently found guilty in court on one of the charges. After that, those were found. I continued on with her background, and subsequently a month later during the background, as the appellant had applied in November of 2020, we ultimately denied in May of 2021. However, in February of 2021, another criminal arrest popped up that was pending out of Waterbury, and she had gotten arrested in March and February of 2021 in Waterbury, and those charges were still pending in court. We denied in May, and those charges were still pending, so that's one of the reasons why we denied her, because she had pending criminal charges in another municipality.
Do you know what happened to the charges in that other municipality?
She was convicted of interfering with an officer in April of 2022 by GA4 in Waterbury.
In addition to appellant's arrests and convictions, that were there any other incidents that factored into your analysis for the respondent chief of police to consider denying the appellant's permit?
So the appellant had a very long, extensive in-house history going back to 2007 in Meriden, but to limit it to the scope of this pistol permit, she applied in 2020. We went back to 2017, looking at activity within the city of Meriden, with interactions with the Meriden Police Department. And in doing so, we found that in 2018, the appellant and her boyfriend confronted a female at a grocery store. The appellant assaulted that female at the grocery store. That would be the pregnant female who received injuries and was subsequently treated at a hospital. And the appellant was convicted on that arrest.
Convicted of what?
She was convicted of breach of peace.
And for, just for the board to note, that's the report that is jointly agreed to be evidence.
That you currently have. In May of 2018, that same victim was walking out of the courthouse after applying for a restraining order against the appellant. And as she was walking out of the courthouse, the appellant drove by, stopped, threatened to assault her again, yelled a bunch of things at her. A police officer witnessed it, and a police officer issued the appellant, I believe, an infraction for creating a public disturbance because it occurred on the courthouse steps in front of the police station. So moving on, in December of 19, the appellant was stopped during a motor vehicle stop and found to have a suspended driver's license, was arrested for that suspended driver's license. And now those are the issues that occurred up until we denied the applicant. That is the information we used. After we denied the applicant, and then upon receiving the board's notice of a hearing, I redid the applicant's background. That's when I found out that the applicant had been convicted in GA4 for the interfering with an officer, received a conditional discharge. I also looked into the Meriden Police Department's in-house security system again to see if there were any additional incidents involving the appellant. And after doing that, I found in August of 2021, the appellant has two children. Her two-year-old was taken to the hospital by ambulance for ingesting marijuana. We felt that that was significant, as that there's obviously an issue there with suitability on the municipality's part. Again, in August of 2021, the appellant's motorcycle was involved in an accident. The motorcycle was abandoned by the operator and left at the scene of the accident. The police responded to the accident. Shortly after that, the appellant showed up at the accident. The police asked the appellant who was driving a motorcycle. She refused to disclose the information, and she left the scene. In September of 2021, the police went back to the appellant's residence trying to get motorcycle insurance information for the accident, because up to that point, according to the police reports, the appellant had been uncooperative with the police, and they couldn't find any motorcycle insurance information in NCIC. When the police responded back to her house, they found her three children, ages 2, 5, and 6, were home alone and unattended. According to the police report, police babysat her children for 30 minutes while they tried to look for the appellant. The appellant showed up home. She entered through a different door in the house, brought the kids inside, locked the doors, and refused to talk to the police. The police had a DCF conducted an investigation into that, all those allegations, and I have no idea what the results were or if it's even still open. In November of 2021, I already spoke about that, sorry. And then in June of 2022, Meriden Police and the State Parole responded to the appellant's house to take in a fugitive. They had received information a fugitive was hiding out at the appellant's house that was wanted by parole. They responded to the appellant's house. When they got there, the appellant's boyfriend, children, and the fugitive were on the front porch. As police exited the vehicle, the boyfriend and children ran into the house. The fugitive took off running into the backyard, was apprehended by police. Why that's significant to this background is at the appellant's house were two loaded stolen firearms that were recovered by police. That case is still pending as the firearms were sent to the lab for DNA. Police are waiting for the DNA results before they continue.
And just for transparency to the board, that case is still an active investigation that I have in my other role as a major crimes detective, and there is some evidence back, but I can't discuss it in this forum. It's an active investigation, other than what he said, that he recovered stolen, loaded, illicit firearms.
There's no arrest in that case yet.
There's been, I believe, one person who was arrested on scene, was apprehended by parole and us for fleeing. I believe that person had a gun charge. Secondarily, I've been assigned to do search warrants for the forensic aspects of it to determine kind of the other firearms. But there were multiple illicit firearms recovered at the scene.
Any other questions? Ma'am, this is your opportunity to cross-examine the witness. That means you can ask him questions. You'll get the chance to talk to us and tell us your side of the story next. So do you have any questions?
My question is, because you stated that that my child was brought to the hospital by ambulance. I actually was the one who brought my daughter to the hospital. So I don't know.
Sorry, that just reflecting into what the police report said that the
child. I just wanted some clarification there. Wanted to know how
that could be an error,
or how she got there. But I brought her there because I was concerned. And then I also wanted to know, like, what does number 6 have to do with me? That has nothing to do with me. I haven't been this is my kid's father's address. I use it. He just moved out of there, so I can't no longer receive mail there. I just had it for receiving my mail. I haven't been living there. Even when my daughter and stuff, I wasn't already living there.
So do you have a question for the witness?
Well, that was my question of what they said about
that,
my
daughter.
Yeah,
that sounds like more rebuttal that you want to tell us about. So is there any question for this man?
Well, I guess that was my question.
Okay. All right. So you don't have any other...
I mean, I can explain why number 6 belongs to her if you like.
Did you want to know something about number 6?
Well, to me, it doesn't make sense to why it's on here, because it has I wasn't involved in it. It has nothing to do with me.
So do you want to ask him why it's on there? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah. What does that have to do with me?
Okay. If you understand the question, you can answer it.
Sure. Number six was brought up because that was the appellant's residential address in June of 2022. And because it was her address, her apartment, and the incident occurred there, that's why it's noted on this report.
Ma'am, where do you live now?
I live in New Britain.
Okay.
I was just about to leave.
I knew that was
coming. I could tell, yeah.
All right, so the reason I ask is Meriden cannot grant you your permit. Only New Britain can, because that is the town of your residence. So if you were to proceed with this appeal, you would automatically lose on a motion, most likely, from us, because we can't command them to do something they don't have the power to do. So you have the option of withdrawing the case, and if you want to pursue a permit, you could apply again through New Britain. But if you proceed today, I can tell you you're going to lose your appeal, which would have a negative implication on any future applications you make in this state anyways. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so, even if, like, I just, like, what happens if, like, I just, like, submit, like, if my, like, address, because it has to do with, well, like, my address being sent there?
So,
where you live.
Yeah. You can only apply for a permit in the town in which you live. So, being that you no longer live in Meriden, that is the salient, that's the important thing. No, you don't live there anymore. They can't give you a permit. Perhaps New Britain can. You'll have to apply through them and go through this process through them. And you'll have to remain in New Britain until such time as you either are granted a permit or not. I can't tell you what New Britain's going to do, but do you understand now? Okay, so you have the option of withdrawing this case if you'd like, or you can press your appeal knowing that we're going to deny your appeal. Do you understand that part?
A little bit.
Okay, so if you were to proceed with this case, you're going to lose. Because we do not have the statute, we have no authority to command Meriden to grant your permit, because that's what the law says. So you can proceed knowing you're going to lose, or you can withdraw your case. Say, I don't want to proceed with this case, and you can either walk away from the whole permit process or reapply through New Britain, assuming that's where you live when you apply.
Okay, so, like, what happens if, like, I, like, go through New Britain? Like, I have to go through this all over again?
Not necessarily.
It depends on what happens with New Britain. New Britain would review it under their processes. It might be a little different from Meriden. I would estimate they have access to a lot of the information that's been discussed here, but I don't know what New Britain would do with your application.
And if you do apply in New Britain, there's a question on the form saying, had your application ever been rejected by any other agency? You need to answer that truthfully and say Meriden.
Oh.
If you withdrew today, and we denied you.
And then later you applied in New Britain, you'd have to say that you have a denial on your record.
So
if you withdraw, then you don't have to say that.
No, that's not true. She does have a denial. She was denied by Meriden.
Yes,
she has to say
number
yes.
one, Meriden. Yeah. And the date.
The board didn't decide it, but she was denied by Meriden.
She was denied by
that's true.
She just would have to disclose that the board upheld that.
Correct.
And if you have questions about the application, you can usually go over it with the issuing authority. Mm-hmm. So when you sign this, you're signing it under oath. So you're stating that everything here is correct. And technically, if you lie, you could be subject to felony false statement. So if you don't know how to answer the questions, either consult with an attorney or talk to the issuing authority and figure out the best way to answer the question. So now that we've gone through that, you probably added a lot on your plate. We do need to decide if you want to proceed or withdraw your appeal now.
I don't know what to do.
I can't tell you what to do. I can't give you legal advice. All I can tell you is if you proceed, you're going to lose your case based on your testimony today. So you have the option of proceeding, knowing you're going to lose, or withdrawing the case now.
And going to New Britain.
Okay, so... Sorry, because I don't really understand. So if you said withdraw, right?
You need to tell us I'm gonna keep going today, or you need to tell us I'm gonna withdraw and go to New Britain.
Like if I do that, like how long do I have to wait? Is it like a process, like for me to submit another application? Do I have to wait?
No, it'll be a whole new application with New Britain.
You applied last in
2020 or something.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, she can apply again.
Yeah, you can apply again right away. As long as it's been a year since you applied there.
Okay.
1 year has gone by, which it has. You can apply tomorrow. You can go stop in New Britain on the way in.
Stop in New Britain on the way back, but you put all your materials together. It's the same stuff. You're You have to show you took your safety class and do your fingerprints.
Answer all the questions correctly.
Oh, so this certificate, I can use it, right?
Yeah.
Can use it?
Why? Isn't that up to the police department?
I was going to say, if you need any of the stuff you gave us, we can give it to you right now.
Yeah, I think they stapled it, everything in our packet.
Time limit though for the validity of the firearm safety class?
There,
no.
Our understanding is there is not by law. However, my opinion personally is at some point you become unsuitable if you've had.
There's a bill to be brought for that.
If you've had the training 20 years ago and have never touched a firearm, are you suitable just because you have that certificate? Subjective, but you could certainly make
understood.
So some towns have set 5 years, or at least one that I've heard. You guys don't have that?
I thought Meredith was 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, someone does.
For trouble.
Yeah, there you go. So you're
making
it.
You're possible.
And again, we're more than happy to give you any documents that you want to go to Britain. We have them all right here, all your originals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like they're willing to talk to you in the hall. So I just need to hear from you what you want to do.
Withdraw.
Okay, the case is
withdrawn.
Just to clarify, on my chief, that's essentially upholding the denial, but not a full heart, or there's just the case.
No, it's just done. It's just that we have no authority to issue, to make you issue a permit to someone who lives in Britain.
Understood.
She took away her appeal of your.
All right, you're all set. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
So we've got to get to that. Where do you live? That's the first question.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello, how are you? Because you've been doing a good job with it.
Case number 4, 21-900.
Too much stuff. It's still very recent.
Where are we now? 21-900.
Okay.
What? For the attorney's
value. Yeah, I lost Lori. Like, what am I doing?
We're stepping out.
Oh, dear.
Okay, before we proceed, Attorney Sherman, can you confirm your client lives in Salem?
Bloomingdale?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Is there some down?
We've gone through the whole thing and then they don't live in the town.
Okay.
You're going to hear that question a lot.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing here today, and if you could identify your witness as well.
Absolutely. Trooper Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y, here on behalf of the town of Salem. I'm a resident trooper. This is Officer Edward Ortiz of Middletown Police.
And Attorney Sherman, can you identify yourself for the
record? Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant. Thank you.
Okay, Trooper, you are entitled to a brief opening statement if you'd like.
The appellant was denied a permit in Salem due to concerns of suitability. The concerns are as a result of an incident that occurred in Middletown in 2014. Officer Ortiz of Middletown Police was the arresting officer and here to provide his recollection of the incident.
Thank you, Trooper. Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
No, thank you.
Okay, Trooper, you may proceed.
Okay, so am I allowed to just ask the witness for his recollection of the incident?
Sure.
Sir, can you please give me your recollection of the incident that occurred with the appellant in the town of Middletown?
It's sometime during the midnight shift, we get a 911 call saying that a person was intoxicated inside the residence, and then a person was outside firing a handgun up in the air. So because of the the nature of the call, the entire midnight shift responded to the home, took up a perimeter outside, and eventually had the subject come out towards us and was placed in custody, or was detained at the time. We also got information that the caller, which was the witness to the incident, locked himself in the bathroom because they were concerned of what occurred in the house, and plus that the appellant was also intoxicated.
Sir, do you recall who was in the bathroom?
Yeah, I believe it was two or three friends, in my recollection. They were his military friends.
And you said, was there a firearm involved, and who used the firearm?
Yes, according to the witness, they stated that the appellant was the one that was consuming alcohol that night, to the point where he grabbed his gun, went outside to the porch, and started firing several rounds into the air. We made entry into the house. We did find a Glock handgun. I believe it was sitting on the kitchen table.
Did you find any shell casings that prove that a firearm had been fired?
I don't recall me finding a shell casing. Personally, I don't recall that happening.
Okay.
But I don't recall. I have to go to organizations.
Okay. Was the appellant cooperative?
He was cooperative.
And do you recall the charges that he was charged with as a result of the incident?
He was unlawful discharge, reckless endangerment first, and disorderly conduct, and carrying a pistol while intoxicated.
Okay. Am I allowed to refer to the copy of the protection order, which I believe everybody has?
Yeah, I have a notation of it in my notes.
So the charges that he was charged with due to the incident was the following: illegal discharge of a firearm, reckless endangerment first degree.
Yeah, it was there. I'm sorry, I just have trouble finding it.
I have a spare copy.
No, we have. This isn't a report. This is just a.
It's a protective.
It's a registry.
So okay. We don't have any reports for this incident because I was told we can only use recollection of the officer.
Correct.
So I have no reports. The only thing I had that brought my attention to this incident was the now expired protective order. At the time of application, it wasn't expired, but now it is. So the charges from that incident, so obviously when I saw the charges, I called SLFU.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, can you guys give me any details to this incident? They said that it was a Middletown case, and they did provide me with the case number. I believe the case number is right here on the front. I then called Middletown Police and requested the name of the officer, the arresting officer for the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I left him a voicemail to give me a call back. We spoke over the phone, and I asked him for his, what he remembered from this incident.
And that's who's sitting to your
and
left?
This is the
okay, and did you wanted to ask a question pertaining to the registry?
No, I wanted to make sure I could use this. I wasn't sure if I could go off of it. But the charges that he was charged with that day were illegal discharge of a firearm, reckless endangerment first degree, disorderly conduct, threatening second, and illegal carry of a firearm under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
I'm not going to object.
And I think that's what he just testified to.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're clear what the charges are. You don't have any objection to him referring to anything else on it. All right, if there's any other questions, you can.
One of the charges was threatening second degree. Do you recall why he was charged with threatening second?
I believe vaguely that it had to do with one of his friends in the apartment. He was drunk.
And do you recall if everybody at the house confirmed that he's the one who discharged the firearm?
We got statements.
I have no other questions.
Attorney Sherman, would you like
I have a question for Trooper Duffy.
Yes,
because he testified in a number of statements. When didn't he submit the application, in 21?
I have 4, 5, and 2021.
21, okay. So you testified that the protective order had not expired, but it shows on here it expired in 17, isn't that correct?
120 of 17.
Right, so it had expired long before, 4 years before the application was submitted,
but less
right?
than 5 years.
Less than 5 years.
That's
okay.
What it said.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Actually, he's right.
You heard
it. Was confusing. You didn't quite say that.
I apologize.
I know what you meant, because I know what it was.
I figured that
that's
was what
you
meant.
That's what my intent was.
Okay.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, that's all right.
You meant it was still within the five years that he had to report it on his application. And
correct. And it
okay.
wasn't reported on his application.
Okay. And Officer Ortiz, I want to make sure I'm clear. You said you don't know why the threatening charge?
I don't recall it. I have to go back and look at it.
You don't know? Okay.
Yeah, it's been
all right. Okay. I have nothing for you. Thank you.
Questions by the board?
You said that the gun was fired in the air,
mm-hmm.
in the air, inside the house or outside the house?
Outside the house.
Outside, yes. Thank you.
Other questions by the board?
I just don't have a good idea. I can't picture the scene in my head about what was happening. Was this an argument inside between three or four people? They came out into the porch, they fired the gun to scare people, nature of the neighborhood, were there houses around, other people, things like that. Could you do a better job of painting the scene?
He lived in a secluded area, where the next house was probably an eighth of a mile away from him. Apparently they've been drinking all night. I think if I recall, an argument ensued between him and one of his military friends. And as we became upset, grabbed a handgun from the house. I'm not sure we didn't argue with them. Then he stepped outside and fired off a few rounds. That's when his friends who came over to visit him locked himself in the bathroom and called 911.
Okay. I'm going to think of something else because I had something else I forgot. I'll come back.
So, there's a protective. Who's the protective party? Who did he threaten one of his friends, or is this a family violence? Do you remember?
It was a family violence.
Well, the order says family violence.
It only identifies as a spouse, though. I don't know who that is.
Spouse.
Relationship to protective person, spouse.
Was the spouse in the house at the time of the incident, officer?
I didn't hear
but
that.
I believe there were two males and a female, but it was 8 years ago, so.
Is there a police record that identifies the parties who were at the scene?
Not that I can access.
Call my phone, it's a little sketchy.
It's an erased record, so. Other questions by the board? Any other witnesses, Trooper?
No other witnesses.
Okay. Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. So I'd like to call the appellant, please. Would tell the board, please, how old are you?
33.
You're 33 now. You remember this incident in 14?
Yes.
So at that time you were 24, is that correct?
Correct.
24. Okay. And just a little more about your present situation. You're working?
Yes, I've been with the same company.
Please speak up.
Yes, I've been with the same company 10 years now.
So who do you work for?
An HVAC company, training.
Okay, so what do you do?
HVAC sales.
Okay. And I know the board wants the mystery solved, so let's talk about the incident. What the heck happened?
It was around Labor Day weekend. I had gone shooting earlier by myself at a friend's house. I was meeting somebody at my house to hang out for the weekend. We started drinking. I still had a firearm on me. I realized that I should probably go clear it and disarm myself before proceeding with the night. In doing so, it was a Glock. I let off a round, scared everyone, and then the friend at the time was an EMT, so their first reaction was to call law enforcement, and it just became a massive misunderstanding. My wife was trying to fight the whole thing at the time. That's the spouse.
Wait a minute. So you're saying this was an accidental discharge?
100%. And on my front porch, one round by myself. No one was even around me.
Accidental or purposeful?
Excuse me?
Accidental or purposeful discharge?
Accidental.
Accidental, you said because you were trying to...
I was trying to clear the firearm after shooting that day.
Oh, okay. Clear it by not shooting it?
It's a clock, so to disassemble it, you have to pull the trigger to slide off.
So how does that make it accidental?
Does that make sense?
When, in order to disassemble the gun, you had to squeeze the trigger, right?
Correct.
And at the time you squeezed the trigger, did you believe that there was a round in the chamber ready to fire?
I did not believe that.
You thought it was empty?
Correct.
So that's how it was accidental, is that correct? Okay, please, you gotta speak up, that's before, it's just, sometimes I can hardly hear you, and I'm sitting right there.
My apologies.
No problem. So, are you saying, so do you have any idea where they got this threatening thing from?
No, afterwards, the parties involved, obviously I was like, what are you doing, and as Officer Ortiz said, I complied as soon as law enforcement was there, so.
And, did you see that law enforcement, the police got the impression that it was an argument or something?
I did not think that at all.
Okay.
I'm not sure where that came from.
Okay.
Like I said, my wife was trying to fight against this the entire time. In the moment, court, lifting the restraining order, that's why I was under the assumption that the restraining order was lifted in 2014, which would have definitely been within the 5 years, but it wasn't because it was by the end of the court case. I didn't know that.
Okay.
So that would explain why I wrongfully filled out the application.
All right.
Because I did acknowledge that I had a revocation.
So you said it was Labor Day weekend.
Correct.
And you had been drinking.
Correct.
How much had you been drinking? What had you been drinking?
I don't recall at this point.
Do you think you were drunk?
It doesn't matter, I shouldn't have a firearm.
Okay.
But no, I was not at that point. I didn't think I was drunk, no.
Okay. Have you made any changes in your life because of this incident?
Yeah, I don't drink.
You don't drink?
That's right.
When's the last time you had a drink?
This incident.
This incident in 2014?
Yes.
You've not had a drink since then?
No.
How come?
This scared me.
This scared you, like, because of somebody could have gotten hurt, or?
All the above.
You've never been arrested other than this case, right?
No.
And, so is that part of what scared you, getting arrested, going forward?
To injure someone else, myself, everything.
Okay. So you haven't had one drink in about 9 years?
Sure.
Not New Year's Eve or a wedding toast or anything like that?
No. Nope. Something I can live without. Not for me.
Okay. Were you in the habit of drinking often at the time?
Not often, but if I did drink, it would be in excess. So I learned to not do that.
In excess, like a party occasion, holiday occasion,
correct,
that sort of thing?
Okay.
Not on a regular basis, not every night?
No, definitely not.
At court, your case ended up being dismissed, right?
Correct.
Okay. If you recall, did you use any sort of court program or something?
I believe it was a family violence thing. 10 classes.
Okay. So at court, it was treated as a domestic violence case?
Correct. My wife was on my side the whole time.
Okay.
She went to every court. She was trying to get them to lift her. At the time, the restraining order, and then once it was lifted, everything just got dismissed.
And you've had no other problems in the past 9 years with the law, right?
Correct.
And no other problems with drinking in the past 9 years?
Correct.
I have nothing further, thank you.
Trooper, do you have any questions of the appellant?
No.
Does the board have any questions?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we'll start at the far end, Dr. Conrad.
I just could use some clarification. I'm still trying to understand why the police recollection is so different from your portrayal. If you could go over specifically your buddy who was the EMT who ran into the bathroom and called the police. What did he say after? What did they say at the time that the officers arrived on the scene?
We didn't see each other, so I have no idea what they were telling law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I was up at the house. I had another building, if you will, on the property. That's where we were drinking. So somewhere in the front of the house is here. I was here. They were out back here. So I'm assuming they heard a round go off, treated it however they decided to treat it, and that was that. And once I realized what was going on, it was like they were there, police were there, and I was just like in shock.
And where was your wife at the time of the incident? So she was in the residence,
she
and
was in the house.
You guys were in another building?
Correct.
Okay.
Did you hear what he said, upstairs sleeping?
Yes, okay. I did.
I know it's hard, but
yeah.
The Lord's right there.
Attorney
Sinity. My turn. Okay, locked pistol was involved?
Yes, sir.
Yours?
Yes, sir.
How long have you had it?
At the time, less than 6 months.
And you were at the range that day?
I didn't hear the question.
You were at the shooting range that day? You were shooting at that?
I went to a friend's property to shoot. And there's enough land to shoot.
So you, that
at
very,
range, yes.
So you know how it works?
Correct.
And you fired it that very day?
Correct.
Okay, now, to clear that gun, you mean take a round out of the chamber? Remove the magazine, take a round out of the chamber?
Clear it, right.
You don't have to take the gun apart to do that.
I wanted the field strip it.
Excuse me?
I wanted the field strip it.
Right, well, the first thing you have to do when you go to the field strip it is unload it.
Correct.
Take out the magazine, pull back the slide.
Correct.
Okay. Now, how's the only way a Glock pistol can be fired?
A round in the chamber.
If it's loaded, how do you fire a Glock? What do you do?
Squeeze the trigger.
And that's the only way you can fire it.
Correct.
So you had to have pulled the trigger to fire that gun?
Correct.
One time or twice? How many?
Once.
Twice?
No, once.
One time?
Once.
Okay. So you're outside, gun's pointed up in the air?
Down.
Okay. You pull the slide back, that would have ejected a round in the chamber?
Right.
Okay. Did you take the magazine out?
The magazine was ejected first, and then that's where the alcohol comes in. It's because my judgment was off and I didn't do it the right procedure.
And that's why alcohol and guns don't mix.
Correct.
Exactly. But you had to have pulled the trigger with a round in the chamber for that gun to have fired.
Correct. That means I was carrying it with a round in, and then I ejected the mag, I didn't clear it because I had already forced have it, although the mag was out. I assumed I went through that step, and then I went to take apart the slide, pulled the trigger, scared myself.
That's backwards, though. I mean, if you don't take off the slide before you pull the slide back.
Right? No, but for a Glock, you need to eject the mag. So in my head, I already
right.
cleared it.
You,
but the magazine was out.
Right.
So then when you go to disassemble a Glock, you pull the trigger and you pull the and then you can slide it off.
Right,
correct?
But you didn't check.
That's the step that I didn't. That's where I was at. I skipped over the round in the
right,
chamber.
You did. You skipped over the round in the chamber.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And so you pulled the trigger around the chamber, the gun did what it was designed to do.
Correct.
Where'd the bullet go?
In front of me into the driveway, out of gravel driveway.
I thought it was up in the air, was the testimony.
I was by myself, so I'm not sure how anybody could attest to that.
So you said it went into the ground?
Correct.
Okay. All right. No other questions?
Other questions? Chief.
The big discrepancy here is the appellant testifying that it was an accidental discharge by himself in front of the house into the ground. The issuing authority saying it was some type of dispute or argument outside and several rounds fired into the air. That's a huge difference. The other issue is there was an arrest and it's domestic violence. Appellant says it's wife's upstairs sleeping, has no knowledge of this, yet there's a 108-day protective order in effect in a domestic violence case. Something's not right. One side is not right.
We didn't feel it was right either.
Yeah, but for 808 days, a judge or somebody held that.
My wife tried to fight it the entire time.
But she was not successful.
Correct. They kept modifying it.
What did they accuse you of doing to her?
I can't answer that.
Well, you could.
I don't have an answer. They didn't accuse me of doing anything.
Do you mean you don't know?
They didn't know.
But after going to court all these times, did you have a lawyer for her?
Yes.
Okay, you went to court how many times?
A good amount. More than six.
And you don't know what they are accusing you of? You know, someone had to explain to you what exactly.
Can I ask a question? Didn't your lawyer just say, we're going to put your case in a program and don't worry about it?
Basically.
That's what happens every
day. Yeah, but I have to believe it's serious enough that you'd want to know. Did people blindly follow their attorney? I hope not.
I thought
that's
the threat,
what happens
the one charge
day.
On the threat is there's no one threatening in here. So I did think that some of the charges, but what am I going to say, to negotiate as I'm being detained?
No, but afterwards, and over here, he took statements from people. Officers took statements saying the gun was fired in the air several times.
Well, I also have a letter from one of the people that was there. My wife was going to come here today, but she couldn't make it. And
I was
going
to ask you that question too.
I have a letter from the person who called the police at the time to help me through the court proceedings. I don't know if that. I don't have contact with the person anymore. But for whatever, Ryan McNair.
I'm a little troubled by this. It's not a little inconsistency or discrepancy. It's a huge one, and the difference may be inconsistency. And everything Attorney Cinetti said, I agree with you. And you said it too. Alcohol and guns don't mix, and that's how you accidentally fire a Glock. So we got that. But there's a little bit of a difference between I was safely trying to clear the gun and made a mistake, to I was having a fight with somebody, including my wife, and fired several rounds into the air.
Other questions? Sir, did you testify that you didn't know the protective order was in place for as long as it was?
Correct.
When did you think it expired?
The 2014 date was what I was going by, because it happened on Labor Day, and by either Thanksgiving or Christmas, I was home. So I was going off the 2014 date, which would have gave me enough time to 21. I didn't realize, because they put a long continuance, that it would have went toward the end of the case, not an end or the end, right? Did I say that right?
So you thought it was immediately lifted?
It was immediate. It was lifted in 2014. It was lifted within months, but not even. So I'm not sure what this.
Well, the registry says it was in effect for 808 days.
Because it becomes modified after. I was able to move back home and all stuff like that. But what's the terms on the protective order? Like, it's basically don't do things to people that you shouldn't already do. Like, right there. Do not assault, threaten, abuse, harass, follow, interfere, stalk, or to the protected person. You're not supposed to do that anyway. So, on my assumption, I was already out.
Well, the difference being, if you do any of those things while there's a protective order, it carries additional penalties. I guess the inconsistency I'm trying to get at is you thought it was lifted immediately, but you said it was modified several times. So if it was modified, it'd still be in effect.
I understand that now. I understand the difference now. But in 2014, I thought it was lifted. I never thought about it again because I moved back home. The case got put behind me. I had cancer somewhere in there. A lot of other life happened, and then the case closed, and then that was it. Never thought about it again.
Can I ask some questions?
Sure.
So you thought it was lifted because you went home,
and everything was.
And what it was telling you not to do was stuff you weren't going to do anyway.
Correct.
Like threatening and harassing.
I
and all that
assumed
stuff.
Those were already normal.
So
laws.
Is that why you thought that it had actually been lifted?
Correct.
I can understand that. My next question is, you said you were allowed to go home. Was there a period you weren't allowed to go home?
The immediate after.
How long was that? Do you recall?
Like 30 days. It wasn't very long.
So you were not allowed to go back to your home for 30 days?
It was a full no contact.
It was a full no contact. Correct. With your wife for 30 days? Yes?
Yes.
Do you recall what time of day this happened?
Nighttime.
Like 11 or like 4 in the morning?
No.
10.
Yeah.
Do you know what time you started drinking?
No. Probably right around that time.
Do you know what you were drinking?
No.
And you said earlier you didn't think you were drunk when you cleared the gun.
Correct.
But then you testified this is where alcohol comes into play, is when the accidental discharge happened.
Correct.
So, were you buzzed?
I no amount of alcohol is right with a firearm, so whether it's a shot or a case, I don't really think it matters. You know.
Do you feel that the alcohol impaired your judgment at the time?
Yeah, you had to have. I squeezed around though.
Drunk or not?
Correct.
That's what I was getting at. Other questions by anybody?
Yeah.
Attorney Cinetti.
I can go back to the gun just for a second here, because I'm a little confused. You said you went outside to clear the gun. Okay, is that what you said you were going to do?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so clear means you're going to unload the gun.
Yes, sir.
Then you said you were going to take it apart.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to go back into the house with the gun in pieces?
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't that kind of awkward?
No.
It's a lot easier to go back with it in one piece with the slide lock back, and you know it's empty.
I can't tell you where the okay. judgment was on that one.
That's what you're going to do? Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Sherman or trooper follow-ups?
No.
Why wasn't your wife able to come today?
Because we actually just mutually divorced, and I didn't think it was appropriate. Okay. She would have still, she wanted to, and I just didn't think it was appropriate.
Okay. Didn't you say she couldn't make it?
She couldn't make it because I deemed it inappropriate.
She could have made it. You didn't ask her. You didn't let her.
Well, no, because at this point she had to work, so I could have asked her last minute and changed my mind. But if she had to work, she would have to schedule the time.
Okay.
Other witnesses, attorney?
Yes, please. I'd like to call the appellant's uncle.
Okay.
Is that the gentleman who didn't stand up before?
I don't think so. Attorney Sherman, did the uncle take the oath? I know there was somebody in the back. You did? Okay, so for the record, the witness has taken the oath.
All right, and can we just say that he's identified himself as the appellant's uncle?
Sure.
So, you are his uncle, right?
Yes.
That's your nephew?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
33 years.
Please, you got to shout it so they can hear down there.
33
years?
Yes, sir.
Okay, his whole life. So, how are you related?
It's my nephew.
But
by my brother.
Your brother is his father.
Right.
Okay. All right. You understand we're here today because he'd like to get his carry permit.
Correct.
Do you have your permit?
Yes.
Yeah. And how long have you had it?
Since December. I just got it recently.
Oh. Okay. And are you aware of the incident that we've been talking about from 9 years ago when he had this accidental discharge and he was arrested?
Yes.
Did you know about it at the time?
Yes.
And so you know that this incident occurred partly because he was consuming alcohol at the time, right?
Yes.
Now he says he hasn't had a drink in 9 years. As far as you know, is that correct?
Yes.
How do you feel about him getting his permit today?
He's matured a lot, very responsible. I think he's all about this kid.
Do you think he had some maturing to do since back when he was 24?
Yes, sir.
See any reason that he shouldn't get his permit? If you thought that he was going to be dangerous to himself or to other people, would you be coming here?
Absolutely.
You would come here and
I would say he shouldn't get it.
Or you'd come here and say he shouldn't get it?
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Hey, Trooper, would you like to cross-examine the witness?
No, thank you.
Does the board have any questions? Okay, seeing none, any other witnesses, Attorney Sherman?
No, thank you.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
I would. I'll be frank, I'm mystified too. But I also know not only what I was saying before about people going to court on this would be considered a minor domestic case as things go in Connecticut, and would the attorney say, well, we're going to put your case in a program and not get into the details? Absolutely. Happens every day because the details end up being moot when somebody goes into the first offender program. And I've seen plenty of cases. It's not a common occurrence, but it's not that extraordinary where cases get shuttled into domestic violence and somebody had a misunderstanding of what happened. But I don't think that it really matters, and I'll tell you why. Because 9 years have gone by. 9 years is very convincing to me, especially about somebody who had a problem that unmistakably stemmed from alcohol or drug abuse. If there were a continuing problem, we'd see more stuff in the past 9 years. There'd be a drunk driving, there'd be something. There's nothing. I think that this is another one going forward the board isn't going to hear anything bad about this guy in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Sherman. Trooper, would you like to make a closing statement?
No, thank you.
Okay, comments by the board. All right. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue with the
Colonel Lewis.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on this huge discrepancy of the issue authority's testimony and the appellant's recollection, so I'm going to say issue authority at this time.
Attorney Cinetti?
I was afraid you'd ask me. I'm really torn here because I want to hold for you because of the things that Attorney Sherman was saying. It's been a long time since you've had a drink. It's just, I don't know, the story just doesn't ring true. Now, does that get to the bottom line of should you be trusted with a gun? And that's the dilemma I have right now. Well, I have to decide. So I will go for the appellant reluctantly.
Dr. Conrad.
It's very hard to understand the testimony on either side because there's no record to look at. Nonetheless, nearly a decade has transpired, and so I'm going to vote in favor of the appellant.
That's striking me, and I get diversionary programs where you usher people in and out all the time, and maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. The thing that stood out to me was there was a full no contact for 30 days. That really stands out to me. So I would have liked to have the appellant's ex-wife here to hear her side of that, because I take domestic violence very seriously, as we all do.
I would have brought her, but we literally just filed. I'm sorry.
I appreciate you answering that question, but I'm going to have to vote for the issuing authority at this time.
Is that 3-2?
3-2. Issuing authority.
Thank you.
Thank you all.